All right. Thank you very much, Verity Baptist, for all the hospitality. The ushers did a great job. Thanks for everything you've done. I grabbed a pen. One time, my first church bought us all pens, like, to use in church. And I remember I did a lot of ministries where I take them and, you know, you put them in your pocket. And then one time, Pastor Barlowman got up and he was just like, hey. And I remember him putting his elbow on the pulpit and he's like, some of you guys have been taking too many pens. We bought 10,000 pens and they're all gone. We haven't had 10,000 visitors. And so I went home and my wife and I looked through drawers and I had a whole Walmart bag full. So I had to unsteal them. So like every service I'd bring some and like throw them in the usher. I'm like sneaking them back in. So I promise as of right now I only have one pen. I had one last night, so I might have another one back at my hotel. But anyway, thank you for the pens. Thank you for all the stuff. I'll make sure on my way out I grab a stack of shirts and stuff like that for Christmas presents. All right. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 5. The sermon is called Sick in the Head. Sick in the Head. It says, why should you be stricken anymore? Will you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Now hold your finger in Isaiah 1. We're going to be using that chapter quite a bit. But go to Deuteronomy chapter number 28. Deuteronomy 28. The Bible's talking here about Israel and how they've gotten so wicked. And it starts off in the book of Isaiah showing them how evil and wicked they've become as a nation. And the first thing he says in chapter 5, he says that the whole head is sick. And then later on it says, from the sole of the foot, even to the top of the head, the entire nation has become wicked and has described them as being sick. It said the whole head is sick. Now, if you think of somebody being sick in the head, you think of them being insane, right? If I said, this guy right there, he is sick in the head. You say, well, that guy must be insane. Now, we're going to look through what the Bible talks about insanity, but in the light of Isaiah chapter number 1. Now, point number 1, I have like 3 points of introduction, and then we'll get into the main part of the sermon. I'll try to hurry so we can get ready for the movie. But look at Deuteronomy 28, verse number 27. The first point I want to make and point out that oftentimes in the Bible, God strikes wicked and evil people with madness. When we look at this country and we look at the world and how insane it's become, it's not on accident. It's of the Lord's doing. It's because they've rejected the Lord. They hate the Lord. So the Lord will smite them with madness. He will make them so they're sick in the head. Now, often we will look at that and we'll say, well, they're reprobate. And that's a good definition of what a reprobate is. I mean, and I'll get into some of it, but if you see some of the things that a reprobate would do, you'd say, wow, that guy must be insane. I think even like 50 years ago, they look at a sodomite and they'd say, this guy's lost his mind. He's crazy. I mean, he's so crazy. He's a man that wants to be with another man. They would just lock him up in an insane asylum because that's how they looked at the homos and the fags and all that stuff. But look at Deuteronomy 28, verse number 27. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, with the emerods and with the scab and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Now, if you notice in the Bible when it talks about madness, which like insanity, somebody being sick in the head, it often associates it with blindness and astonishment. Look at verse number 29. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. Thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Now hold your finger there and go to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians, be a lot of flipping this morning. A lot of flipping. Go to Ephesians 4. Now, oftentimes in the Bible, we see people that the Bible says God smites with madness and then always talks about blindness, astonishment of heart. Now, the blindness that it's talking about is not them being smitten with a physical blindness because it says a blindness, but then it says of heart. Right. Now, so they have no moral compass of what they are past feeling, what the Bible says. I'll read for you Zechariah 12:4. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness. I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah. I will smite every horse of the people with blindness. Now look at Ephesians 4 and verse number 17. I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. So their understanding, them being able to understand what is right and wrong, it's darkened, it's blinded. Look at this. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. Look at this. To work all uncleanness with greediness. So we see that in verse number 17, it says that you walk not as other Gentiles walk. It's not saying that all Gentiles are reprobates. It's that there are some other Gentiles that walk in the manner that's described in verse number 18 and verse number 19. Now go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 28, where I just had you leave. Now, madness and blindness go hand in hand. I believe that it's not just the physical blindness, but then when we do see in the Bible, oftentimes, in the first major event that's described in detail about the Sodomites just attacking somebody and attacking peoples in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Bible says that God struck them with the physical blindness. But before God struck them with physical blindness, they were struck with madness. I mean, they were so crazy that when they got struck with physical blindness, even a normal person, even a normal evil person would stop what they're doing and realize, hey, I've been struck supernaturally by blindness. But they kept trying to find them. They kept trying to get in the house. And so we see that not only were they physically blind, but they're spiritually blinded. Now, this means to show us that people that God has made blind and that God has struck with madness, that they're without hope. Now, these are the reprobates. Now, I don't believe that every single person in the country that does the things I'm going to talk about are reprobate, although some of these things that I'm going to talk about, I believe that they are. Now, look at verse number 27, Deuteronomy 28, where we just read that. This is what the Bible describes as the definition of madness. Look, it says, the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, with the emerods and with the scab and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. So it says right there, they're going to be smitten with the botch of Egypt. Now, what is the botch of Egypt? Well, if you botch a job, that means you messed it up. That means you screwed it up. You know, if you're doing a roofing job or whatever you're doing, say, man, that guy botched the job. That means that they did something, their folly caused them to mess something up. Now, what was the botch of Egypt? Is that they were smitten, they were reproved by Moses, they were shown many miracles, they were reproved by God. But the more that Pharaoh was reproved by God and by Moses, the more hardened his heart became. Now look back at Isaiah chapter 1 where we started. It says, ah, sinful nation, verse number 4, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One unto anger, they are gone away backwards. So they're going in the wrong direction. It says, why should you be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. He's saying, look, I'm stricken you, I'm smiting you, I've judged you, and the more I judge you, the harder your heart gets. The more hardened your mind gets towards me, towards my word, and towards the things of God. He's saying that the more I reprove you, the more angry and reprobate you become. The Bible says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck and shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now, you guys are in Isaiah 1, and go to Psalm chapter 115. Psalm 115. The attributes of somebody that's sick in the head. So again, it's kind of introduction. The attributes of somebody that the Bible would describe as being insane. Now, yes, they are full of all unrighteousness. They are capable of every single dirty and filthy, wicked sin under the sun. But there are certain attributes of somebody that we can look at them, and to us, you know, we seem like normal people, but we see these people and basically the rest of the world, and they want to make us look crazy. They think we're sick in the head. They're going to look at Pastor Anderson's sermon last night. They're going to look at Brother Fannin's sermon last night, and they're going to say, man, that guy's crazy. Man, that guy's nuts. I can't. That guy, they think we have a distorted sense of reality, but the fact is we have a correct sense of reality. They are delusional. This is attributes of someone that's sick in the head. They're delusional. They're physically sick. Oftentimes people, when they go insane, they become physically sick. They become physically ill. Right. If you notice, a lot of the homeless population, they're insane. Right. They're nuts. There's something about that when people decide. Look, when you're in America, and if you're a lazy bum, you can get a free house, you can get free food, I just saw where they were handing out free cell phones. When somebody is homeless, it's because they're just an utter piece of trash. or they voluntarily want to be homeless. And let me tell you this, when you just want to be homeless, you're insane. Yeah. That's absolutely crazy. And then when you talk to these people and you try to witness to the homeless, they're evil, they're angry, they're mean, and it's always somebody else's fault. They're delusional, and then oftentimes they're physically sick. You see them, and they're just not healthy. And then they have a pathological persistent and repetition of certain words. They just always wanted to say certain words. Let me tell you a certain word that this reprobate world wants to say. Well, that's hate speech. You know, every time you talk about anything, it's just hate speech. Somebody posted on Facebook, on one of their Facebook accounts, I said, like, real women marry men. And people are just like, you're homophobic. It's like, what in the world? It's like if somebody said, if this sodomite, some sodomite wrote, like, real men only marry men or something like that, nobody would have got on there and said anything, because if they would have got on there and said anything, they would have said that we're homophobic, or they would have said that we're crazy. But I tell you what, they're crazy. We'll get into some of this in just a second. They have a steady persistence in course of action in spite of difficulties, obstacles, or discouragement. We see that in Genesis 19, right? They're smitten with blindness. They're trying to find the door. They can't get in, but they just keep on going until the next day when God has to just smite and burn up the entire city. That was a city that was full of trash. Now, one thing is about you see about this is the blindness, the astonishment, and all these judgments by God is oftentimes in the Bible, when he does away with these people, he does away with them and even their remnant. You know, Pastor Anderson was talking last night about these sodomites and how they're just so filthy. Well, if you notice, a lot of times some of the righteous kings that would drive the sodomites out of the land, the Bible says they would burn down their houses because they're full of disease and they're full of filth. Now, I'm going to go right now into some things that are a sign of somebody that is sick in the head. Now, I had you guys go to Psalm 115. I had you jump there too fast. Can you hold a finger there and go to Isaiah 5? That should be pretty easy for you. Now, people that are... This is weird. I'm not used to this big... Can I move this? Can I... Does it matter? Okay, cool. All right. It doesn't sound the same, but that's all right. All right. People that are insane, that are sick in the head, have a distorted sense of reality. The Bible says in Isaiah 1:6, from the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it. They don't have any soundness of mind. So even if you meet some homo and they seem like a regular person, or if you meet some psychopath reprobate and they seem like a normal person, it's all an act. There is no soundness in them. They are completely insane. Their mind is just gone to levels that we can't even imagine. Now you say, why do you preach about this? Why are we having a whole conference and it's just like, we just got to push that fag button? Well, one is because nobody else is preaching it. Nobody's getting up and calling a spade and saying what's just obvious. I mean, you're looking at society. Look, the world is just cramming it. Somebody just posted some show on Netflix about a transvestite cartoon. This is wicked. This is insane. We would look at it, and I remember I heard a sermon a long time ago that was recorded back in the 60s, and the preacher got up, and he was preaching against the television, and he talked about how one day in the next 100 years, he said, there would be just open sodomy. He predicted what's going on right now, and you can hear the congregation, you know, speaking back at him, saying, no way, no, and look, it happened less than that. I mean, he was dead on, you know. Now, the Bible says in verse number 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, and that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So somebody that these wicked, evil people that are sick in the head, they call evil good. So the things that the Bible says are evil and wicked, they say it's good. And the things that the Bible says are light and goodness, they call evil and wicked. They have a distorted sense of reality. Now, who are some people that we can look at in this country and even the whole entire world that we would say this is insane, they're sick in the head? Number one is false religion. The Bible says in Psalm 97:7, confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols, worship him, all ye gods. The Bible says that the people that serve graven images, they're confounded, they're insane. Now, just because we've grown up in a culture where Roman Catholicism or some other kind of idolatry religion has just been among us, we look at it like, oh, that's just normal. But it's not normal. Look, I was raised in a Roman Catholic church, and praying to statues was something that I never felt easy about. Even when I was unsaved, I thought to myself, this is a big statue. This isn't really a saint. This isn't really God. This isn't really Mary. Why are people praying to statues? Now, if you notice, let's say you go out in public. Let's say you're walking around downtown and you see somebody standing in front of a statue speaking to a statue. What would you say? You say, that person's crazy. Man, I need to be like, you know, like when you want to take a picture of somebody, but you don't want them to see you taking a picture. So you take a selfie with them like behind you. You'd be, that's crazy. But then you know what? You pick up that same person, that same idol, and you put it inside of a church, and now they're not crazy. Now they're very spiritual. Look, it's a spirit, but it's not of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse number 4. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. They eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. They feet have they, but they walk not. Speak they through their throat. Excuse me. Neither speak they through their throat, that they make them, that they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusts in them. It's saying these idols are dumb. The Bible calls them dumb idols. They have feet, but they can't walk. They have mouths, but they can't say anything. And it says all the people that worship these idols, they're like the idols. They're speaking foolishness. They're insane. They're saying foolishness. Now, go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Now, actually, you know what? Go to Deuteronomy 13. I like to hit on this point real quick, since we're rounding all the bases. You know, I've learned some things in the last 14 months with the whole debacle with the oneness thing. And you know what? One thing I want to really hammer down to our church, and I'd like to hammer down to your church. I got hammered on last night, but I will tell you this. People bringing in false doctrine into the church needs to be something that's handled severely. God looks at false doctrine as not just this leaven, it's just some sin, they're just a mess. It's something that you individually as a church member should be taking very seriously. Because these people are sick in the head. These people, they infiltrate churches, and you think that they would, you figure like, how are all these guys, so they're all unsaved? Yes, because birds of a feather flock together. And when some infiltrator comes into a church, the devil will make sure that they end up collaborating with all the other infiltrators and wolves in the church. It's not an accident that all these guys ended up being best friends. Look, they all ended up grouping up together, and they ended up rising up. Look, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, the devil bring them all together too. Now, look at Deuteronomy 13, verse number 6. When you think about working your way to heaven, think about praying to statues, think about working your way to heaven. Look, that's insanity. You know, you think about the repent of your sins doctrine, people turning from your sins. I always think to myself, when somebody says, well, I've turned from all my sins, I think you're crazy. I mean, how in the world are you going to say you turn from all your sins? And this is what the craziness, the confusion, the blindness of it is. You say, well, do you still sin? Yeah. Okay. Did you sin today? Probably. Well, have you turned from all your sins? Yes. You know, it's like, so did you turn from your sins or do you still sin? And they're like, both. And you think, well, how can you do both? Well, the reason why they can think that is because they are insane. They're sick in the head. Now look down at Deuteronomy 13, verse number 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, are thine own. This should be like a Bible memory passage for us in our churches. This should be something that we just have to memorize. That way it's ingrained in your head. This is how God feels about somebody that comes in to split up the congregation and add leaven to the church when it comes to false doctrine. Especially when it's severe false doctrine, like attacking the deity of Christ, attacking the nature of God, attacking the King James Bible, attacking salvation by grace through faith. Look, this is something that should not be taken lightly. You have a personal responsibility to make sure that you're helping out the pastor and out looking and spotting for the wolf. Look at verse number 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thine own son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers. So if somebody comes to you and they say, hey, look, let us go serve other gods. Now, I know that you and your fathers, the Baptists that have came before us, they never knew this oneness God, but let me show you in the Bible how we need to go serve this oneness God. This is how you should respond. Namely, the gods of the people which are round about you. like the Pentecostals and all these other weirdos, nigh unto the Muslims. The whole entire world believes in this oneness God. What separates us from the rest of the world is we believe in the Trinity. Amen. That is the defining doctrine that separates the God that we worship from the gods of the heathen that are around us. Amen. You say, well, the Catholics, they believe in, well, they believe in the virgin birth too, so is that just wrong now? Yeah. These idiots. Look at verse number, namely, the gods of people round about you, nigh unto thee, are far off from thee. From one end of the earth, even to the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him. So that means when somebody comes and says, hey, you know what? I know you believe a certain thing about the Trinity. I know you believe a certain thing about salvation by grace through faith, but you know, what about James 2? You know, well, let me go in the Bible. Let me show you some things. Look, when they do that, red flag should be going off, and you should be saying to yourself, this is not the voice of the shepherd. This is the voice of a stranger because he's coming to you secretly. I think the first thing you should be saying, hey, you know what? Let's go talk with Pastor Jimenez real quick. Let's bounce this off him. You know, they're not going to want to do that. And hopefully they just never come back. But look, keep going. Look, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him. Neither shall thine eye pity him. Neither shalt thou spare. Neither shalt thou conceal him. But thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death. Afterward, the hand of the people. So the Bible says that in a perfect world, when somebody comes in and they start preaching false doctrine concerning the Lord and preaching about other gods, the Bible says right here that the person that hears him, and he gives no disclaimer. He says, if it's your brother, if it's the son, and he said, if the brother, he said, let me help you define that so you can't sit there and try to weasel your way out of it. The son of your mother. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, that's your brother, the son of your mother, your daughter, the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend. Look, anybody that comes to you, no matter how close they are or how good of friends they seem, we should put hands on them. And now we can't stone them with stones, but I think we should definitely take them to the pastor and we should throw them out of the church. But let me say this. It's not just pastor discipline, it's church discipline. Yeah. The whole entire church takes part in church discipline. When somebody's exposed as being a heretic or some wicked person that's doing these evil sins of 1 Corinthians 5, look, it's not just the pastor that's throwing someone out, it's the entire congregation that's throwing them out. And if you're somebody that hears about these things and you do nothing about it until it gets exposed, look, you let them come creep in. Go to Ephesians 5. This is the attitude that we should have against false doctrine, that it should be something that we need to keep an eye out for. Now, I remember when I came to Faithful Word, before I came to Faithful Word, I'd only ever heard one sermon on the wolves. I heard Larry Brown. You know what sermon I'm talking about? Blowing the whistle on them wolves. And I remember hearing that sermon, and then I got to Faithful Word, and I remember thinking, like, Pastor Anderson preached the wolf sermon, like, every 3 or 4 months. And I remember at the time thinking to myself, this is so strange. Like, it was just because I never heard it before. I was like, what's he talking about? You know, I'm like looking around like, who's he? You know, what's going on here? And then I was thinking like, maybe, because I just moved here, is it me? You know, is it I, Pastor? You know, are you calling me? I'm not. And then, but as you read the Bible, you start noticing that it's just over and over. I mean, how I've told you often, night and day, this is something that needs to be preached and taught. Because the people, the church, need to take the pastor seriously when we tell you there are people that are evil that will sneak in and preach it, come bring in damnable heresies and all sorts of other stuff, not just online. And let me tell you this. This is a common, like, thread that I've seen with these weirdo people is they often call lots and lots of people and look up to them as their spiritual advisor, and they're on the phone with them for like an hour at a time. So somebody's always calling you. Now, you need to have a good idea of, you know, kind of like not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. If somebody comes up to you and you're like, you're such a man of God, you know the Bible so well, and they're always just coming to you for advice, you know, I'm not knocking you saying that you're not, but you need to have an idea of like, why does this guy think I'm such this man of God? Why is he always coming to me? The reason why, it's a flattering tongue. He's trying to sit there and fish about and like, you know, catfish to see if he's going to be able to lure you in, to see how gullible you really are and how far he can take it. Every time we've thrown somebody out of church for being a heretic, for being some psycho, every time all these people in the church and all these people around the country were like, he used to call me all the time. They would just spend vast amounts of time on the telephone. Now I'm saying, look, if you talk to people on the telephone, I'm not calling you a wolf, but I'm saying when somebody's just repeatedly calling you, they're not calling just you, they're calling all sorts of other people. Now, this is another way that people will bring in the false doctrine is they wanted to share videos with you with a question. Yea, hath God said? Now, I know Pastor Anderson, I know Pastor Jimenez, he believes the Trinity, but have you seen, you know, that video from Victor Tay? Have you seen that video from, you know, burn him, that's right, put hands on him and stone him. Now, let me tell you this, when somebody has been told the truth a bunch of times, and they just seem like these people that are just on the verge of understanding, but they always unlearn everything that they've been taught, that's somebody that probably you should probably go to the pastor about.
Yeah.
We've noticed that. I've noticed that you'll get somebody and they have questions. You know, are the Jews really, are you sure the Jews aren't God's chosen people? And you correct them and they're like, yeah, okay. And then like a week later, they're going to somebody else asking them the same question. They're going to somebody else. And they're like, well, I just think that, you know, they start going to all these people and they're just fishing to see who they look at. Because a lot of times they don't know who the simple one is. And so if they come to you, they're just trying to see how much you know about the Bible, how loyal you are to your family at the church, and they want to see if they can expose you to their false doctrine. The weird Ruckmanite doctrines because of insanity. I was going to go into the weird Ruckmanite doctrines. That's a whole sermon. Now, we're going to get into the things that insane people do is they love filth. They love filth. Now, we'll go into Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse number 3. Look at verse number 3. Look, people that believe in false doctrines, number 1, they're insane. They're sick in the head. It makes no logical sense. And this is the thing about the repent of your sins for salvation is their whole lot, like it's different from person to person. And when you ask them what sins you have to do to turn from all your sins, generally the sins that they have aren't even that hard to turn from. I mean, it's not even that hard to turn from drinking. You know, maybe some of you guys it's pretty hard, but you know, that's like the names that they got. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to go into the love of the filth. The love of filth. The Bible says they have that these reprobates, their vile affection. This world loves filth. They love dirtiness. They love things the Bible says are unclean. Now, what's the first thing that the Bible talks about is being unclean? The Bible talks about fornication being unclean. Look at verse number 3. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For ye know that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. The Bible calls fornication unclean. The Bible says that people, a man that goes and sleeps with another woman that he's not married to, the Bible says that is unclean. Cleanness. The Bible says it's filthy. It says right there, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. It says, let it not be once named among you. Now, in the world that we live in, if you're single and you are keeping yourself pure until marriage, they'll think you're insane. They'll make fun of you. They'll say that you're a loser. They'll say that, you know, they don't say you're a square anymore. You know, I don't think that's a term that they use. But they still call you, they'll say that you're not one of the cool people unless you go out there and commit fornication. But I tell you what, when you look at what the Bible describes as fornication, and when you look at society and even the fruits of fornication in society, right. Look, if you go out there and you're committing fornication, if you're going out there and you're whoring around, you're insane. You're crazy. You say, how do you know that? Well, let me tell you this. 1 in 2 sexually active persons gets an STD by the age of 25. Wow. 1 in 2. That's not a good chance. So if you're out there committing fornication, you're going out there. Talk about the roll of the dice. Yeah, right. 1 in 2. So that means that if you go out there and you're committing fornication with 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people a year, you are going out there and you are getting an STD. Right. You're getting an STI. You're getting one of these things. Now, this is what's funny about it is you tell the world, look, you're going to get an STD, and they make light of it. Like you're not somebody until you've gotten some kind of an STD. You know, I remember, I'm not joking, I was on a job one time, and there's guys talking amongst themselves, and they were all comparing their war stories of getting STDs. And I remember my knees being weak. I was like, that is so disgusting. Like, I can't even imagine how gross and filthy that is. But when they wake up, they shall seek it yet again. Look, if you go out there, and look, they have these kind of education classes in school, and at the youngest of ages, and they cover STDs. And it doesn't deter people at all. Now, listen to this. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimate that 20 million new STD cases occur every year in this country. New cases, 20 million. Wow. That's so many. That's crazy. Total estimated cost of on our country because of STDs is $16 billion a year. So we'll look at fornication and say, well, the Bible says it's unclean. And they'll say, no, you're crazy. No, if you go out there and commit fornication, you're crazy. And this world is mentally insane. The Bible said, or listen to this. In 2016, rates of the three most common reported STDs, chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis, reached a record high, 1.5 million cases of chlamydia new in 2016. Young people ages 15 to 24 account for 65% of chlamydia and diet and gonorrhea diagnoses in 2016. That's disgusting. That's gross. When I look at that and I think you're doing something that could make you sick, that to me is insane. Now go in your Bibles back to look at Isaiah 1, look at verse number 6. Now you say, well, what's this? How does that make you crazy? Look, it's filthy. If we saw, let's say for instance there was somebody that had $1 million. That had plenty of money to just to go out and buy whatever food they want. If you saw them digging around a dumpster, especially if you knew they had a house, they had like all the means, and you saw them in the dumpster eating food, Do you know what you'd say? Man, that guy must be insane. Yeah. Why else would he be doing that? Right. Well, let me tell you this. I'd rather get in the dumpster and eat 5 pounds of rotten food then go out there and commit fornication. You probably have less chance of getting sick. Look, one in two people that are sexually active by the age of 25 will be an STD. So let me tell you this. You think that you can go out there and you can dabble in sin? Look, you cannot take fire in your bosom and not get burned. You can't sit there and walk on hot coals and think that you're going to walk away unscathed. You have to be somebody that looks at sin the way the Bible looks at sin. And people that go out there and they steadily commit fornication, they are filthy people. The people that are on the music, the people that are in rap and hip-hop and country and rock and roll, all these things, they all promote filthiness. And the reason why is because they themselves are full of all sorts of filthiness and STDs. Look at verse number 6. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. The people that are stricken with madness, oftentimes, even in Deuteronomy 28, it talks about, it closely associates them with being physically sick, with disease. There are people that, look, if you're out there committing fornication, you're eating out of a dumpster. You say, oh no, it's a good girl, we're monogamous. No, she's a whore and so are you. I mean, look, if any woman has any decency about her, she'll save herself and she won't just give herself over to fornication. Because I'll tell you this, every single person that I know that drinks alcohol has driven drunk. There is no fornicating person that only fornicates with one person. Statistically, it doesn't happen, especially in the college level ages. College is age 18 to 24. 21% of straight men and women have slept with more than 5 people in the last 6 months. That's disgusting. That's filthy. Say, no, that's not. Now listen to this. The world promotes filthiness. The world welcomes it. And the world's methods of deterring the filth and the sickness are the most ridiculous way. Listen to this. Organizers of the 2018 Winter Olympics in South Korea, I can't say it, Pyeongchang? Anybody verify? Is that right? Am I saying it right? Pyeongchang. Okay. Okay, expecting the most promiscuous winter games in modern history. The Olympics are set to begin next week with no plans of being outdone by previous winter game host cities. Organizers of the South Korea Games have supplied the athletes with 110,000 condoms. See, how many athletes? There's 2,925 athletes representing 90 nations. That works out to 38 condoms per athlete. So I'm not joking. So when they have these athletes come in, because they know they're going to commit all sorts of fornication, they know they're going to commit all sorts of filthiness, but they want to protect them from getting sick while they're there, that they give them up to 38. I don't know how long the Winter Olympics last, maybe a week or two. 38 people. When you're watching and you're letting your kids, oh, I just like watching the luge. I just like watching, you know, bobsledding. I just want to watch a little bit of ice hockey. I just want to watch some of the winter games. It's just a fun sport to watch. Look, these people are filthy and dirty, disgusting people that have slept with almost, probably some of them, 50 people. Now, if one of them got up and said, I slept with 50 people during the winter games, you know what the world would say? They'd give them a pat on the back. They'd get a high five. But I look at that and I think that's disgusting. Your body is riddled with all sorts of disease. There's no way. There's no way you're not filled with disease. There's no way you're not filled with sickness, with putrefying sores. Look, I'm surprised that we don't find out about these people having AIDS more often. They keep it undercover because they want to make it look like it's light. Look at verse number 4 of Isaiah 1. Now, we'll look at the baby boomer generation, and I believe that they started a huge destruction in America. But I tell you this, the generations that follow are just flushing our country down the toilet. Look at this, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. Now look at this, these are the people that he's talking about. A seed of evildoers. So it's not just the people that started off being wicked, they're the seed of the evildoers. They're their fathers. Look at brother here. Children that are corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backwards. So the Bible says these people, they're the seed of evil. They're like second and third generation filthy and wicked people. And that's what we have now, right? We have the snowflake generation. They have, I don't know what it was. Somebody's posting on Facebook the 2009. Look, people today going out and staying pure till marriage, getting up and preaching against fornication is always going to be something that the world looks at as weird and strange. But as we get closer to the end of the world and the world waxes worse and worse, it's going to become even more strange. These doctrines that we preach from the Bible are going to be looked at as more and more archaic and more and more. Go to Exodus 22. People love fornication. They love fornicators. They look and idolize people that are fornicators. Look, it was a day in the world, I don't think this is a bad word, I'll use it, when if somebody called another man a pimp, that was like disrespectful. Like 100 years ago, he said, hey, that guy's a pimp. Like that's like, it was like a disrespectful term. Now if somebody's called a pimp, they're like, oh, he must have a lot of ladies. Right? Look, it's disgusting. It's filthy. And just because society says it's not, doesn't mean that it's not. They have a love for filth. They have a love for reprobates. They have a love for bloody and disgusting reprobates. The Bible says in Proverbs 8:36, he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Now, go in your Bible. Where have you guys go to? Ephesians chapter, or Exodus 22? I'll tell you this. Hollywood loves the reprobates, and they have a hard time standing against people that are filthy and disgusting. There's a director named Roman Polanski, and this guy molested a bunch of children. He flew, I think, to France or somewhere in Europe to get away from conviction. And after, I mean, just a bunch of young children came out and said, this man molested me, this man abused me. Then a bunch of actors get up and he wins an award while he's on the run for child molestation. And when they show him, he can't show up because he'll get arrested. So they show a video of him, and a bunch of stars, a bunch of Hollywood actors stand up and they give their approval and their support for a guy that's a convicted, that's a known child molester. Wow. I mean, there are some things in America that you could do that maybe they might turn a blind eye to. But when did it become where you can just commit child molestation and just the average person just turns a blind eye to it? Well, you know what? I don't agree with the way he lives, but, you know, I do like his movies. Look, if you like his movies, you're laying hands on him, and you're a partaker of his sins. You think of Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby drugging people and raping women. And it's disgusting. And people defend him. Do you know what they defend him by? Well, that they all did that. Then they're all reprobate and wicked. How, just because you have a bunch of people that do something doesn't make it right. How many people in here have told a lie before? Probably everybody. It doesn't make it right just because it's common. Just because being a fag and being this AIDS-ridden fool, just because it's something that happens, it doesn't make it right. Just because people are out there and they're getting caught molesting children, it doesn't make it right. Just because something becomes more common. Think of Harvey Weinstein. You know, the whores of Hollywood whored themselves out to this man who was a director. And then they arrest him and they're charging him with going and just using his power and authority to molest and really abuse women and to sleep with women. Think of Jerry Sandusky and Joe Paterno. Who knows who Jerry Sandusky and Joe Paterno are? Okay. Joe Paterno is the head coach, or was the head coach, of Penn State University, the football team. Jerry Sandusky was his assistant coach. Jerry Sandusky is a child molesting sodomite reprobate. Now, he molested children as young as six. He adopted children, boys. So that way, his own adopted sons came out and said that he molested them. And then because that wasn't enough, because it's never enough, he started an entire boys' home, an orphanage, a foundation, and he bring in hundreds of fatherless children. He bring a bunch of boys that had no parents, and what did he do? It was just his little buffet to go in there and molest children at will. For like 30 years, he did it. Now, look down at verse number 22. Let's see how God looks at people that abuse and attack children that are orphans. Look at this. Look at verse number 2. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise and they cry out at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. You know what he says? Look, I'm going to come out there and I will kill you with the sword. He said, my anger shall wax hot. Look, Jerry Sandusky is a wicked, wicked person. And then what happened is it got exposed that over the course of 30 years, there were janitors that walked in on him raping, not just, you know, homo acts, but like children. And they tried to report him to the athletic directors. They went to Joe Paterno himself. And they said, your assistant coach, Coach Sandusky, we caught him being a child molester. He's being a faggot and attacking some little child. And do you know what he said? Oh, he just likes little boys. He knew it. And that's not the worst of it. So Joe Paterno was getting ready to retire, like the year after this. Right before he retired, this all got exposed. They literally idolized him. They had a big statue of Joe Paterno at the college. They had pictures of him. Like Penn State, Joe Paterno is Penn State. And so what they took down his idol, kind of like, remember when they pulled down Saddam Hussein's big statue? They did the same thing with Joe Paterno. They painted over all of his pictures, and they almost stopped Penn State from even having a football program. And then you know what the student body did? They said, hey, we support the victims, right? They marched, and they stood for Joe. And look, he is as guilty as that guy is. Look, Joe Paterno died. And I hope to God that he's just burning in the lowest parts of hell. There are hundreds of boys that went from having a screwed up life anyway. I mean, if you're an orphan, you're already going uphill, right? You're already struggling. And then you get this glimmer of hope. You're going to go to this boys' home. We're going to be taught certain things. You're going to go to school, maybe even get a scholarship. And you're going to be able to do something with your life just to have some predator use it as his personal escort service, as his personal means of molesting little children. And the world that we live in, they idolize him. They still stand for Coach Joe. They made t-shirts, and hundreds of these college students, these fools, are out there promoting Joe Paterno. And they say, well, we condemn Jerry Sandusky, but not Joe Paterno knew that it was going on. He did nothing about it. Amen. Look, Joe Paterno was a wicked devil. But I think that they should just burn all of Penn State down. Including, look, I remember seeing videos of all these victims when they would show them images of all these students marching and rallying for Joe Paterno and the football team. And they were crying. They're like, what about us? And you know what? When you cry out unto the Lord, when these fatherless and these children, they cry unto the Lord and they're crying and they're pleading with God, please avenge us. God hears it. Yeah. And he waxes hot. And a nation that puts their stamp of approval on that is going to be smitten. They're going to be smitten with insanity. They're going to become even more and more sick in the head. They're going to become a society that just takes it farther and farther. They just need that one person to break the ice. They just need that one transvestite. What's that one guy's name? Bruce Jenner. Came out and everybody was like, oh, this weirdo. And he definitely is. Talk about insanity. This transvestite that's against homo marriage. I'm not joking. He went on the Ellen DeGeneres show, or Oprah, and he was like, he looks like a woman. He's like, this is going to shock you. I'm against gay marriage. And they're like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. You know, like, how are you going to be against gay marriage? You're a sodomite. Oh, a lot of people are a sodomite. But it's disgusting. It's crazy. Now you say, well, that's the world. That's what they do. Well, independent fundamental Baptists are doing the same thing now.
Right.
Go to Deuteronomy 19. You say, what? I remember growing up, or not growing up, I remember when I first got in a church, the big thing was is these Catholic priests, right? They would become a molester, and they would start shipping their little priests off to different, you know, congregations and places around the country. Well, let me tell you this. We don't have to preach against the Catholics doing it anymore.
Yep.
We got our own, we got independent
right.
fundamental Baptists
right.
that are basically, look, Jack Treber, your collar's showing.
Right. Yeah.
Jack Treber, let me say this, is a piece of trash.
Right.
He's a wicked and evil person.
Right.
Look, he's diabolical. He's just an evil, he's an infiltrator that's a pastor.
But he is. Yeah.
And he does not care about his friends. He had a pedophile in his church, some faggot named Mike Zachary,
yeah.
that got caught molesting the other song leader's son. And then instead of just exposing him for being the pervert and pedophile that he is, he just ships him off to his friend's church
yeah.
without telling his friend what he did.
Yeah.
That's his friend. With friends like that, who needs enemies? And he was out there, he shipped him off to his friend's church, and then when his friend, what's his name, Paul Chappell, found out about it, he was outraged. And so Mike Zachary, after being exposed at two churches for being a pervert and a pedophile, he just got thrown in the trash where he belongs, right? No, he's on staff at Doug Fisher's church, at Lighthouse Baptist Church of Lemon Grove, Arizona, or excuse me, Lemon Grove, California.
Wicked.
He gets moved around. Why? Because his talents. I mean,
he
don't want to waste the talent. He's good on the piano. Look, there's a bunch of people that are good on the piano. It's just, it's totally, look, it's Baptist Catholicism at its finest. Look, what happened to these people just being exposed and being kicked out on the street? Then we have, where are we at here? I name them here. Emmanuel Baptist Church of Jacksonville, Florida is trash. You say, I don't know who Emmanuel Baptist Church is. Well, let's call it Berean Baptist Church. And then their piece of trash, reprobate pastor son, Tom O'Neill, got caught taping women in his office, his young girls getting dressed. So he had an office. There was not a dressing room. He said, oh, you girls, you can just use my office. He set up a camera behind a plant.
Yep.
And then he filmed them.
Right.
He got caught, but the statute of limitations ran out. And so instead of them just saying, you know what, you're a pervert, you're a sicko, they just renamed the church. It's funny how, look, we the new IFB and the old IFB both have trash cans in Jacksonville, Florida. We got Valiant Baptist trash can. And you know what's funny about the, and then we have what's it called again? Emmanuel Baptist Church trash can of Jacksonville, Florida. You see, Tom O'Neill, he's still a pastor. He's the pastor. I think he's the one preaching most of the sermons down there. Not only that, they have, lo and behold, guess who's a member of their church? Bob Gray Sr., the Born That Way Ministries guy, who's not even allowed at his own church that he started and founded or whatever, that his son pastors. He's not even allowed there. But they'll allow him at the trash can. Do you know what's funny about the trash can churches? There was somebody that got thrown out of Steadfast Jacksonville. And when the whole oneness debacle happened, Tyler Baker was talking with another guy, and he was like, just telling him, he's like, I'll be able to convince you, it's oneness. You know, he's like, come, let us serve other gods. And then he was recounting to this guy, he's like, I don't know. He's like, he saw Pastor Anderson's sermons, and he was just like, and everybody else has preached sermons about it, right? And he's like, I don't know how many people I'm going to be able to get to. He still thought he was going to go to Jacksonville and start the church last summer. And he's like, I'll probably only be able to get this one family. And he named the family, and he literally didn't even want them there. I mean, that's what he said. He's like, I'll probably be stuck with them. What's funny is they're the only family that end up going oneness in Jacksonville. And they went there. But you know what's funny about the garbage can? Go out there and throw something in the dumpster. It never comes back out. Because the dumpster just takes anything that it wants, that you can put in it. You know what I mean? Bob Gray, they're in the trash can. Cameron Giovanelli, am I saying his name right? Look, Jack Treber, again. Got shown that this guy was a pedophile and was abusing. Look, two things. You say, oh, she was 16, it was consent. Look, when you have authority over somebody, especially as a pastor, look, people, they trust you and they give you their hearts to a certain extent. It doesn't matter if she was 35 years old. Look, they open themselves up and they become vulnerable to people that they look up to as being a spiritual advisor. And this man abused his authority by sleeping with this girl. Just up recently, he was sending your emails telling her happy birthday. Telling her that he still thinks about her. Just up until recently. He gets exposed by his guy that's pastoring his church, Stacy Shiflett.
Yeah.
And Jack Treiber, he doesn't expose the guy for being a molester.
Right.
He villainizes the victim, which is what all these reprobate predators do. They always look at the little kids and like, oh, they're a liar. Look, no. That's their M.O. He doesn't really throw them out of church. They give him a nice little severance package. And then guess where he ends up? At Emmanuel Baptist trash can of Jacksonville, Florida. You say, why are they all attracting? What? Look, pray for Brother Fannin. Talk about being in the midst of wolves. He's got both trash cans at his church. And look, let me tell you this. Jack Treiber is an evil, wicked person that doesn't care about his congregation. Look, he's had twice now, just in the last couple years, molesters and evil predators being exposed at his church. I couldn't imagine the ones that have been exposed in past before the internet.
Yeah.
And he did nothing about it. Right. Not only that, look, he's aiding them going and working in ministry.
Right.
That guy still, look, that's where Jack Scott will go when he gets out.
Yeah. Right.
Why wouldn't he go there? Because he's a piece of trash too.
Amen.
Go to Deuteronomy, where have you guys go, 19? You know, we don't have to preach against the Catholics moving around their clergy anymore because the IFBs are doing it.
Wow. Right.
But let me tell you this, when someone is garbage, when someone is trash, look, they get thrown out. Like the dirtiest of diapers. You know what I mean? This has to be something. When people look at people the way the Bible describes them, when these pedophiles and these sodomites, when we look at them through the eyes of the Word of God, we should look at them with a seriousness and say, look, this is somebody that's dangerous. Look, Cameron's even knows. Look, if there's anybody out there that's still going to that church, they need to beware.
Yeah.
They need to watch. I was at a church one time where they had a child molester running a church school bus with children. And I exposed it. I was like, hey, look. I was looking online and we moved to a new place and I was looking around for, you know, the predators in the neighborhood to make sure that we don't walk by their house.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, sure, there's some that haven't been caught yet, but we definitely need to be watching out for the ones that they have been caught, right?
Because
they never stop. They don't have the cure for it. And so therefore, I saw this guy that was driving a church school bus. And I thought to myself, boom, I'm going to be a hero. I mean, he was convicted of molestation of a person in position of trust. I mean, that's like the most severe, right? He went to prison for it. I went and exposed it to the leadership and they were just like, oh yeah, we know. We just have his wife with him. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I started like being real. Now I knew they wouldn't believe in the reprobate doctrine. I knew that was kind of going a little far with them. So I was just like, well, and they're like, what? So he commits a sin and he can't serve God anymore. And I was like, well, can't he just not serve around the children? I mean, at the time I'm just trying to get him away from the children. Can't he just go soul winning? Can't he just go to like Reformers Unanimous? Can't he just go to all these other things? Can't he go somewhere else? Does he have to drive a church school bus? I'm like, well, his wife is with him. He molested his own daughter. The wife was there. What did she do last time? You say, well, that's crazy. That's insane. That is crazy.
Yeah.
That is insane. That's sick in the head. And let me tell you this. Even I was blown away. I was like the junior church guy. I ran bus routes and bus captain. I got it all stripped of me. Why? Because I was bad. I said, look, I think the congregation, if you're going to have this guy as a child molester driving a school bus, I think they have at least have the right to know. And they looked at me like I was a wolf. It is unbelievable. When I think about it, I'm still baffled and shocked by what happened there. But that's what happens. The Bible says in Jeremiah 23:1, woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Therefore saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. Look, these churches that want the sodomites to come into their churches, look, to me, that's a deal breaker. I mean, if you're just going to openly invite homos to your church, when you're just going to openly, you know, I think Paul Chapel got up and preached a whole sermon when Pastor Jimenez said, we don't want him here. He said, oh, well, we'll take him. I think the people of that congregation should fear. They should be afraid. That's a scary thing. Now, the cure. Go to Deuteronomy 19. Now, The darker this world gets, the more evil it's going to become. Now, when you're right and you love the Bible, you love the Lord, you believe the Bible, the world is always going to think you're crazy. You're going to look at them as they're crazy. Now, the reason why I think it's so important to go to a good church that believes right is because out there in the world, you're going to end up feeling like you're crazy. You're going to end up feeling like you're insane. But when you come to a church like this and you hear the preaching, you know what? It makes you feel normal again. You go, you're like, well, you know what? I'm not crazy. I'm normal. They're crazy. Now, I've got the cure for, I got the cure for the, I brought a prop. Boom, I've got a rock. There is the cure for the sodomite problem of this world. Now, they want to pump them with pills. They want to pump them with all sorts of prescription medication. But you know what? I say pump them with rocks. I walked in here and I grabbed off the ground. It's the only one I could find, a little rock like that. And I went, I said, can you find me a rock bigger than this? But you know what I thought? You know what? If you're going to stone someone with stones, I think these are acceptable. Even if it lasts longer, just pelt them to death, my friend. But I'm not joking. The Bible says that justice, according to the Bible, these people, they sodomite, reprobate, these filthy animals, they should be taken out and they should be destroyed. Look at verse 19. Why? And those which remain shall hear and fear and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. So even the reprobates that are out there, they're going to be really careful to be in the closet, because if they get caught being a sodomite or some flamer, they're going to be taken out and stoned. Look at the next verse. And it says, and then I shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Now, I thought it was funny that as soon as this Cameron Giovanelli guy got exposed by Pastor Shiflett in Virginia or Maryland, Bob Gray came to his defense. And I thought, why is this guy just piping up all of a sudden? Who cares about Bob? Who cares about him? He's not even relevant. And I said, and I thought, why? Well, it makes a lot of sense, because he's trying to justify and prep their congregation for them bringing him in there. Yeah. Now, they're not just bringing him in as like a church member, right? We'll let you go to church here. They're going to put him right on staff. Wow. They're going to put him right on staff doing, I don't know what they're doing. Just like that fag in Colorado. What was the guy's name? Ted Haggard?
Yeah.
He got exposed for being a homo, and they moved him to Arizona, and they put him on staff as a marriage counselor.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. He's like, what? Why do they do that? Because they're sick in the head. Because they're insane. Nobody with they're in their right mind would do that. I mean, if you had somebody that was just continually stealing, and you said, here, you know what? I know you keep getting out stealing, because here's the offerings. Count it all by yourself. You know, it's like, no, that guy's a known thief. When somebody's a known child molester and you just keep letting them in your church. Look, these molesters, they seek for churches, and they seek after independent fundamental Baptist churches. Because independent fundamental Baptist churches will take anybody and put them in a Sunday school class. They'll take anybody and put them on a church bus. If you come and you just want to serve, they will just put you out there with all the other, with all the kids. That, you know, they do the little background check. They show the little video once a year. And after the thing, the debacle with the guy with that was driving the church bus, I was like, what's the point of having the, why have a background check? When the guy's going to come back as a convicted child molester, you're still going to let him work with children. Why even do that? And I said, you know what? I said, a couple things are going to happen. I said, if he molests another kid, one, he's going to ruin that kid's life.
Right.
Number two, I said, what if they come in and they say, hey, Pastor so-and-so, what about, you know, did you know that this man is a convicted child molester? What are you going to do? What are you going to tell him? Oh, yeah, we just made his wife go with him. Are you going to lie and say you didn't know?
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I tell you what, if he molests somebody and the cops come in here, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to say, look, I knew, and I told leadership, and you know what? It's not me taking you to law. That's just me looking out for the victim.
Amen. Yeah.
Look, justice ends when it comes to the pedophilia. Justice is, this is justice right here.
Yeah.
Say, well, you want to get them saved? No, watch the sermon from last night. I'm not going to go into that. I had a lot of my sermon added cut out today. I'm trying to add water to the soup right now. Just kidding. Go to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah 1. Look, adultery was punishable by death.
Amen.
Look, murder is punishable by death.
Right.
If we implemented the laws of the Bible in our society, we would have a better and more safe society.
Right.
It would be a lot better.
Yeah.
Now, I do believe, and this might shock you a little bit, maybe a little bit against what you think, but I think that the Bible should be state religion. Now, we can't make people be saved, but you can make people obey the laws of the land.
Right, right.
And if they get convicted of something, look, say somebody says, not being saved isn't just some crime. But when somebody commits adultery, somebody commits some sort of perversion, and the Bible says their punishment should be death, that should be the punishment of the Lord, of the land. You come here and you start building your mosques and you start building all your idols. Look, that is something that should be punishable according to the Word of God. And it will be punishable during the millennial reign. But I'll tell you this. The Bible says the reason why they should be stoned to death is that we can put evil away from among us. Is make people, look, if your son is a rebellious and he grows up and he becomes a drunkard and a glutton and he smites you, the Bible says that he should be stoned with stones.
Amen. Right.
The Bible says somebody that comes in with another form of punishment, they're like the Pharisees that said, look, don't stone him with stones. Let's just make him pay a fine. Let's just make him give a gift and then we'll call it all good. Look, the Bible says that they were making void the commandment of God. They're making of none effect through their tradition. Look, the Bible says that for a society to be healthy and for people in the society, just as a common person, to be sound in mind, they need to have biblical precepts. The Bible says in Leviticus 18, defile not yourselves in any of those things, for in all these nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity upon it of the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Look, we as Christians live amongst a dark world. Look, our country ain't getting no better. It's good. It's due for some destruction. And I tell you this, cities and our nation and evil societies, when they get smitten, they end up becoming worse and worse. You think about something as horrific as like Hurricane Katrina. There's wiped tons of stuff out. Did the people start turning? I don't know for sure that that was of God. I can't say for sure that that was God. But did the people, let me ask, did the people turn to God? No. They probably got more evil and more wicked. Because that's what the Bible says is going to happen. Look at verse number 15. He says, so the first cure is this rock. The second cure for the people that are savable is this rock, the Word of God.
Amen.
Look at verse number 15. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make clean, and put away evil, the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. So it's saying right there, look, when you just pray and you're not turning from your sins, the Bible says, God says, I'm not going to hear you. He said, my ear is not deaf, my hand is not shortened. Look, it's saying that your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Look, when this nation is just laden with iniquity and they just cry out to God for anything, the Bible says that God's not going to hear them. The Bible says for this nation to be healed, look at verse number 17. It says, learn to do well and seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins may be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So what is the cure for the madness, for the insanity in our society? It's hard preaching. It's preaching like this. Look, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And people look at sermons like Pastor Jimenez's Orlando sermon. They look at the sermons from last night. And the Christians today, the phonies, the watered-down snowflakes, they're going to say, you guys are the reason why they're stripping away our rights. We're the reason why our rights are going to stay here. Because as long as we're preaching what the Bible says and the Spirit of God is flowing, increasing more and more every single year. Look, churches are popping up. We're not just, you know, begetting churches where we're starting churches. Old IFB pastors that are hearing the truth, they are changing what they believe. They're popping up everywhere. That's how we know that God is going to let the freedom of speech reign for a little bit longer. Because we're preaching like this. They would look and they say, oh, you guys are going to get us, you know, you calling everybody faggots are going to get us all banned from X and Y to Z. Look, us calling everybody faggots and queers and calling a spade, that's what's going to keep us on YouTube. It's miraculous that his channel's still on YouTube. It's supernatural. They got rid of Alex Jones before him. Show me two things. Is Alex Jones probably ain't of God, and apparently he's not some shill. Everybody thought he was a shill. Apparently not, because they took him down. Anyway, let me tell you this. People like to hear hard preaching. Even unsaved people, or even saved people that get saved, they come. We have a lot of visitors from soul winning. Fort Worth is a very church-going people. And when they come and I preach and we preach this hard, I've had a couple, but very few and far between when I say, you know, hey, how was the sermon? Do you know what they all say? I mean, that was great. That was awesome. Like, they're real excited about that. The Bible likens hard preaching in the Word of God. The Bible says that you eat it and in your mouth it's sweet as honey. But then in your belly, it's bitter, right? So it's kind of like this. Like, you eat some sweetness. You know, they hear the preaching, and while they're at the church, they're talking to people. They don't even know anybody. They're thinking, man, that's great. You know, that's awesome. And as they're driving home, they start that sermon went from in their mouth being all sweet. Like, man, that was really dynamic. You know, they were saying amen. And one guy one time was waving the Bible around, doing all that stuff, visiting a church. That was awesome. And then went on a run. Just kidding. And then they get in the car, and they start driving home, and they're like, well, how come these people never came back? I mean, they said it was awesome. They said they loved it. And I think when they said it, they meant it. They loved it. But what happens is they live in the flesh. Like Brother Fannin said, they get in their car and start listening to their Katy Perry. And then they realize, well, Pastor Romero just mentioned Katy Perry. And he ripped on her and called her a whore and a demonic devil. And then, you know, they start listening and they go home, they start watching TV, and they go all the way in the flesh. And the belly often symbolizes the flesh. Therefore, it sounded great. They loved it while they're in the church, and they get home, and it's in their belly, and it becomes bitter. And they don't come back right away. But I will tell you this. When I first started going to church, I got saved. I went to church a couple times, and I didn't really like going to church. I remember being really mad at my brother because I got saved through door-to-door soul winning. And the guy that was the preacher that was speaking with me, he said, you look really familiar. Do I know you? And I said, yeah, I think, you know. I said, no. I said, I don't know. You know, never been to church. And then he asked me my name, and he's like, oh, do you know Mike Romero? And I'm like, yeah, that's my brother. And he's like, oh, he goes to my church. And so I let him in. He got me saved. I promised to come and get baptized the next week. Now, I came and got baptized. Now, I remember the pastor getting up, and the church was only like maybe 20 or 30 people back then, and he was ripping on all the sins that I had just done that week. Like, I mean, he was just nailing them one after another. And I remember sitting in the service trying to be real stoic, you know. And I remember in my head, I'm thinking, I was so mad at my brother. I was like, he heard that I'm coming to church, and he probably went to him and said, you need to preach about this. You know what's awkward when after the service, your brother's like, I didn't talk with him. I didn't talk with him. So I came back again. I didn't tell him I was coming back again. I came back the next week. It was the same thing. And I think to myself, like, man, what's his problem? This guy's crazy. And then I ended up not coming back for 4 or 5 years. But you know what? When I realized that I was just ruining my life, I wanted to live for God, I realized that the world was insane. I realized that the way that I was going was a way of destruction. You know what? I said, I'm going to go to the church where they were making me feel bad for how I was living. Where when I heard the word, yeah, it was bitter in my belly, but it was good for me. Right. You know, it was bitter, and maybe it hurt the flesh. Maybe it stung a little bit when the pastor, you know, said certain things. And maybe I felt like I was being singled out, you know. But I honestly don't think that. I think he was just preaching against sin. You know, and I was like, oh, you're preaching against me, you know. Let me tell you this. This is what the cure is. The cure for the sodomites is the stone. Until the government comes out and does that, we just need to be vigilant, and we need to make sure that our churches don't end up a trash can. But do you know what the cure for the rest of the fornication, all the other cleanness, and all the other insanity? The cure for it is hardpreaching.com. Amen. It's getting up and ripping and being in a church where you hear it steadily, where you're hearing it, where your children are hearing it, where you are preaching it. It's not just Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It's just all throughout the week. You're preaching and you're teaching to your children the precepts from the Word of God. Give them a righteous idea of how life is. So when they see something out in the world, they think it's weird. When they see people, when they're walking in Walmart and they see the dolls that have three heads, and all the kids are loving it, and they want the dolls with the little gothic dolls. Our kids look at them like, that's evil. That's wicked. That's reprobate. And let me tell you, that's how we're going to affect this nation. It's a nation that's insane. They're sick in the head. But you know what? We have the cure. We're healthy. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the Bible. Thank you for this church. And thank you for all the sermons, the two sermons we've heard already. Please be with Brother Mejia and Pastor Majors. They get ready for tonight. Brother Thompson and Brother Stuckey tomorrow. And Lord, we love you. And we ask you to please just, again, bless this congregation, Lord, for their hospitality and their goodness to us, Lord. And in Jesus' name, amen.